3-1 pitch, swing and a drive. Deep to right field, way up there, way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Eight strikeouts for the King tonight and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Felix.
Strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager, that just happened. Thank you very much.
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
And it's time once again for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Gary Hill back with you. Glad you're here once again. A busy podcast as usual, especially on a Monday. We're going to review what was a busy, busy weekend at Safeco Field. Three against the Boston Red Sox. A four-game series, but three over the weekend. So we'll quickly move through those baseball games. Also, it is Monday, so you know that bullpen banter is here. Charlie Furbush visits with fellow bullpen mate Tom Wilhelmsen coming up, and it's epic as always. So that's on its way. Brad Miller had a giant offensive weekend, and we're going to hear from him. Also, we'll have a week that was as well coming up. So all that, we're going to save the preview for the road trip. Today's an off day, of course. The road trip starts tomorrow in Baltimore. So we'll preview the road trip coming up in tomorrow's podcast. So a two for one. Some good stuff coming up tomorrow as well. But let's waste no time. Let's get into this thing. As the Mariners, they dropped game one of this series Thursday to the Red Sox. They were looking to get things even up on Friday. And this ended up being a great ball game on Friday, a real pitcher's duel for the Red Sox. Buchholz, eight innings pitched, gives up just three hits and one run. He fanned 11 without walking anyone. Jay Happ was excellent as well, going toe-to-toe, as he has been. Seven innings pitched, five hits, one earned run, one walk, three strikeouts. It was toe-to-toe. Boston actually broke through first. They scored a run in the second inning, and just zero after zero on the board against the Mariners. That was until the sixth, as the M's finally able to break through against Buchholz.
On the way, the 1-0. Smith swings. It's a high, towering fly ball. This is smoked right center field. It rides on out. 15 in a row sat down by Buchholz until that big bomb by Seth Smith, and we are tied at one.
That was big time. As the game got late, Tom Wilhelmsen came on, and he was dynamite.
Right-hander's 0-1 pitch. Here she comes, swing and a line drive into center field right at Ruggiano. He's there. He makes the catch, and that will retire the side. Great job by Wilhelmsen in relief.
Yeah, Wilhelmsen goes two, gives up two hits and no runs. So combined, half Wilhelmsen, nine innings pitched, one run given up, just dealing. But the Mariners, just at that point, going to the bottom of the ninth, just needed one for the win. And Brad Miller, he was in the middle of everything over the weekend offensively. He got things cooking.
Lane looks in, ready, and the 1-0 pitch. Swing and a ground ball left side. Bogart's way to his right. To backhand, jump throw to first. Not in time. Brad Miller is safe at first. A one-hopper into Mike Napoli. What a play by Bogart's, but he just couldn't get enough on the throw. Good hustle by Miller, and he's safe at first. And the Mariners have the winning run aboard with one out here in the bottom of the ninth.
Yeah, and that set the table. Nelson Cruz at the dish. The Red Sox decided to pitch to the slugger, who already had one walk-off win this year, looking for another.
And the 3-2 on the way to Cruz. Swing and a line drive into left center field. And this one is on the track all the way to the wall. Here comes Miller rounding third. He will score! Nelson Cruz with his second walk-off hit. Mariners win it 2-1 over the Red Sox here in the bottom of the ninth inning. Line drive way back into left center field for Nelson Cruz, his 30th RBI of the year, a walk-off game-winning single here in the bottom of the ninth inning. 40,000 people on their feet here at Safeco Field.
Yeah, great game, great crowd, great win, 2-1. The Mariners take that ball game. The series even at that moment, and things looking pretty swell going into the next day as Felix Hernandez was on the rubber. That was a fun day at the ballpark on Saturday. The Mariners celebrating the Seattle Steelheads. We had that conversation on the podcast a couple days ago about the history of the Steelheads, and it was a very cool day. The atmosphere was fantastic. The uniforms look sensational. and everything done up at the ballpark, the music, the organ playing. I mean, it was pretty awesome. The Red Sox uniforms, too. It was all very well done. It was a lot of fun. Bill Withers was there throwing out the first pitch, too, along with downtown Freddie Brown. I mean, all the way around. It was a lot of fun. Great day. In terms of the ball game, it was pretty interesting. The Mariners actually jumped out early and got things rolling. Guess who? Brad Miller.
Now the windup and the 2-2. Swing and a high fly ball deep into the gap in right center field. Holt going back to the track, to the wall, looks up, goodbye baseball. Brad Miller with his third home run of the season into the bleachers, and the Mariners, just like that, have a 1-0 lead here in the bottom of the first. And I'm telling you, Miller's bat is really heating up.
Yeah, that thing was launched. So a 1-0 lead early, but Boston, they get solo home runs in the second and the third, which really, Felix, half the runs he's given up this year, essentially half the runs, have been on solo home runs because it's been so tough to bunch up hits against him. The long ball, he hasn't given up a two or a three or a grand slam. It's only been solo home runs this year. But that's really how teams have gotten to him, if at all, because they have not been able to get to him with base hits. He hasn't been walking anybody. His whip well below one. I mean, it's been dominating, especially at Safeco Field. The numbers have been completely out of control, what he has done, especially at Safeco Field. But Boston, at that point, they have a 2-1 lead. The Mariners having a tough time scraping together offense. Porcello on the hill and doing a good job against the M's. But then Brad Miller steps up again in the fifth inning.
Swinging a high fly ball deep to right field. Holt going back to the track, to the wall. Goodbye baseball. Miller does it again. His second home run of the ball game. And it ties the game at 2-2. Home runs 3 and 4 on the season tonight for Brad Miller. This time he jumps on Porcello's first pitch to him in the bottom of the fifth inning, and that ties the game at 2-2. What a night for Brad Miller, and it's only the bottom of the fifth.
Yeah, great ball game. A couple of home runs. It's 2-2. Felix on the hill. It looked like he had things dialed in, too. As we go to the sixth, he gets an out, and it was to Sandoval, but during that at bat, he tweaked his ankle, and he talked about it after the game, and I'll play it in just a second. And after that, a walk to Bogarts, a walk to Nava. He walked 2 in a row, and then a big blow by Boston.
The pitch. Swihart jumps on the first one, slices it towards the gap in left center field. It drops in for a base hit. Bogart steams it to third base. He rounds third and scores standing. Blake Swihart, the rookie catcher, 2-for-3 tonight against Felix Hernandez. It's the go-ahead RBI single, make it double for Swihart, who is in at second base, and the Red Sox lead it 3-2.
Yeah, and then Bradley would walk, so 3 walks in the inning, another ground out would score another run, so Boston scores 2 in the inning. They get 4 runs off of Felix, and he talked about it after the game and talked about his ankle, how it affected him when he tweaked it against Sandoval.
Second pitch against Sandoval in the sixth, I think.
Good. How much did that affect your command the rest of the inning?
No, not at all. Not at all. It was just the whole game. I was fell behind a lot of times, and my command wasn't there.
But the walks that inning were uncharacteristic. Was that part of the factors for that?
No, not the ankle. Just me, my mechanic. That's all I did.
It looked like with your fastball, it was just kind of cutting on you, kind of going.
No, it was sink a lot.
Sinking.
Yeah, it was just moving away from the strike zone.
There's Felix talking about his ankle not affecting him. You know, we know Felix so well at this point. He is never one to make any sort of excuse after a ball game. But, you know, you look at what happened. He tweaks his ankle to the first batter in the sixth inning. Then he goes on to walk 3 in the inning. He hadn't walked 3 in a game this year. His pinpoint control, he's thrown the ball wherever he's wanted all season. He hasn't been walking anybody. His whip, as I mentioned, well under 1. And he ends up walking 3 in the inning. Boston scores 2. They get 4 in the ball game. When it was all said and done, yeah, he'd only given up 4. He hasn't given up 4 at Safeco Field, 4 or more, very often in the last couple of years. So this was kind of a rare ball game. He ends up going 6, gives up 4, walked 4, and gets tagged with the loss. His first one of the year, falls to 6-1 as the offense just couldn't pick him up. The Mariners just 5 hits along the way, and Boston claims game 3, 4-2. And that was a tough one. After the Mariners had evened the series, the dramatic win the night before, feeling great with Felix on the hill, things didn't work out. Now, this is what made game 4 of this series so important, as the Mariners had a chance to even the series and with the win to make it a 6-3 homestand. And your feelings are quite a bit different heading out onto the road. The Mariners, again, they got things going early offensively. James Paxton on the hill. He gets to the first and second without a problem. And then the Mariners get to work in the second inning.
Here's the set by Wright. And the 1-0 pitch off the glove of Swihart. Gets behind him all the way to the backstop. And here comes Seager on to score from third. Down to second goes Morrison. As Blake Swihart could not handle the knuckleball, and it's a 1-0 Mariner lead.
Yeah, knuckleballer on the hill, and that can happen once in a while, although that pitch looked like it was right down the middle. So the Mariners get one there, and then Mike Zunino with two down comes through.
The 3-2, Zunino with a swing and a line drive, base hit into center field. Here comes Morrison on the score from third. Zunino with a two-out RBI single. It's now the Mariners 2. And the Red Sox nothing, clutch base hit with two down by Mike Zunino, his 11th RBI this year.
Yeah, great start. 2-0 M's at that point, and then Brad Miller once again.
Next pitch, swung on, well hit ball, deep to right field, down the line, stay fair, and it is gone. Goodbye, baseball. Hot hitting Brad Miller with 2 home runs last night. He has 1 more this afternoon, now 5 on the year. That ball was just fair into the lower deck down the right field line, and it's now the Mariners 3 and the Red Sox nothing.
All 5 of those home runs have come at Safeco Field. He's batting .368 at home with 5 homers and 6 RBIs. He is loving Safeco Field right now, swinging a really hot stick, playing all over the place, shortstop, saw him in left. He was DHing as well. I mean, he's been batted leadoff yesterday, batted second the order. I mean, he has been all over the place and has provided some pretty big punch for the M's, especially the past handful of days, and especially at Safeco Field. And then Kyle Seager, he extended the lead late in the ball game with a 2-run smash.
And he delivers, and Kyle with a swing and a drive deep to right field, going and going, goodbye baseball. Kyle Seager greets Craig Breslow into the ball game, his first pitch to him, with a home run to straightaway right, his 5th home run of the season, and it's a 2-run drive, and it's now the Mariners 5 and the Red Sox nothing. How about that?
Yeah, 5-0, but the story of this one, James Paxton, who was just dealing.
Paxton's pitch, Swihart swings and hits a bouncer over to Brad Miller, a chest-high hop. He throws a rifle shot to first base. Swihart is out, and the threat comes to a close. James Paxton strands runners at second and third at base, and with that, Paxton 19 straight scoreless innings.
And he would push that to 20. James Paxton now 20 straight scoreless innings. He goes 8, 5 hits, no runs, walks 2, strikes out 2, 105 pitches, and he grabs the win. Paxton now has given up 5 earned runs in his past 5 starts. His ERA in that time, 1.38, as he is really dialed in. It's pretty interesting what happened yesterday, as he went fastball, heavy fastball, 88 fastballs thrown out of those 105 pitches, as he was dealing on the inside of the plate, especially forcing a lot of ground outs, a lot of weak contact, and he dominated in a different sort of way. This wasn't a game of domination where he was just striking on everyone. He only had 2. This was a game of domination in that it was all weak contact, constant weak contact, ground balls, pop-ups, that sort of thing all game. He was really only threatened a couple of times. There's only twice in the game that the Red Sox had more than one base runner, and he danced out of those issues. It happened in the 3rd inning. They had 2 on. It happened in the 7th inning. They had 2 on. Other than that, Red Sox really weren't able to threaten James Paxton, as he had it working. Here he was after the ball game.
Yeah, definitely this year most comfortable. Everything felt pretty good. There's a lot of fastballs today. The breaking stuff's coming, and just looking forward to the next one.
Is this fastball by design to throw that much, or did you just really get into a groove?
I got into a groove, and it was feeling good, and I'm going to make them prove they can hit it before I change it up.
Hey, James, other than just the result, what was the thing you were happiest with today?
Just my rhythm on the mound and finding that rhythm and, consistently throwing pitches down the zone. I think, I really want to work on getting ahead of guys, and I continued to do a little bit better at that today. I just want to continue to move forward with that.
It seemed like you were working pretty quick to work forward.
Yeah, I want to keep it quick and keep the infield and players on their toes and keep them ready to make plays.
Hey, I love the comment, make them hit it. Make them prove they can hit it. And they never proved it. So he just kept dicing them up with fastballs, 88 fastballs in the ball game. And over the last 12 games, the Mariners starters 5-2 with a 2.33 ERA. That's 20 earned runs and over 77 innings of work. So the starters really have it dialed in at this point. Paxton was brilliant. The Mariners, they get the win 5-0 in the ball game. Here's Brad Miller, who hit a home run in the ball game, talking after.
Yeah, big win. I mean, Pax came out and he was lights out, and that was huge. And to add on some there at the end with Seager was pretty awesome. So overall, a pretty good game for us.
6-3 homestand, that's got to mean something to you guys too.
Yeah, that's huge. And we were right there in all the games, and like you said, had some good playing there, and now it's time to hit the road and keep it going.
That's exactly right, and that's what we'll talk about in the podcast tomorrow, is what this road trip looks like. But a 6-3 homestand, that's a really good homestand. They split with the Red Sox, they split with the Padres in a brief series, and they sweep aside the A's. So 6-3 heading out onto the road. Now, what we'll do is, why don't we hand it over to Shannon Dreher, along with Brad Miller, who is in the middle of everything offensively in this series. Here it is.
Brad Miller is putting the new laces on the shoes. What do you got going there, Brad?
Just putting a little gray. Some of my other ones for the road were a little ratty, so I had to get these on there.
Okay, maybe you can help me out there. I just got some shoes, and they've got the neon laces, and I'm not sure about them. What? Okay, a little flashy.
A little flashy, okay. So you could always switch it up with some whites or something, and get it going. But
help me out.
Works.
I wasn't sure. Okay,
whatever works.
All right. So in the gym, we will have the white and not the neon orange. Hey, great to see what's been going on with the bat with you. When you look at how the whole season has kind of evolved for you, what has been the progression?
Just trying to find a little groove, I guess. Trying to find things that work, and from the past, but I think every season's different. Different challenges, kind of different things you're feeling, how your body's working. So, just trying to be aware of everything and make adjustments, according to that.
If you could key on one thing in the last week, what would you say is most attributed to your success, or that you would like to keep going forward?
I think just being ready to hit. When I get in there. Being ready to swing the bat, have a little conviction and let it fly a little bit.
We hear ready to hit a lot. What is your definition of ready to hit?
I guess just when I get in the box, I'm thinking I'm getting after a pitch until I see it differently.
Okay.
I'm swinging until I, recognize that it's a ball or something, but I'm ready for the first possible pitch every time.
And we saw that on the second home run last night.
Yeah, I think you go in there and obviously it's the big leagues. These guys are good, and if you're giving them pitches, then it's you're putting yourself in a hole and you're going right where they want you to go. So I just think, and it's not always going to be the first one, but just get on the first good pitch you can see and try to put something on it. And if you miss it, go to the next one.
Would you consider yourself an aggressive hitter?
When I'm going good, yes, 100%.
Have you always been that way?
Yeah. There's no sense for me in taking a fastball down the middle. So I'm gonna try and swing. And I think if you put the ball in play, and you put it in play hard, I think good things will happen.
And that's ready to hit.
Yeah, being ready to hit for sure, because that first one might be the only one you get.
When do you start preparing for that at bat? Let's say that you're just coming in from the field. When do you start thinking for that? How do you juggle that?
Yeah, I think that's something that's tough. You always got to kind of have your ways to focus and lock in and switch from one from defense to offense and the other way around. But yeah, just try and when you get out there on the on deck circle or on the top step, really try to focus and get your game plan going, so when you step in the box, you don't have to think.
You have the unique position today of leadoff, so you've got a little bit more time to get ready for that, but the even more unique position of a guy that you're not going to see very often in a knuckleballer.
Yeah, you know, it's obviously it's, you know, you just kind of, whatever that challenge is today, you dive into it, and yeah, you know, excited to get there and lead off and hopefully get something going.
What have you heard about him as a knuckleballer? Are they all the same, or do they kind of vary a little bit?
Oh, they're different, I feel, because we faced Dickey a couple times now. We faced this guy a couple times in 2013, and so we've seen him before. And, yeah, everybody, it's just like, you know, with any other pitcher, everybody's got their own little style and everything. So, obviously, we know it moves quite a bit. So, you know, just same thing, just trying to have good at-bats and hit it hard.
Lastly, it's a Little League day today. They're all lined up outside right now. What's your – okay, first of all, you were on the Little League Mariners, I remember.
I was, yes, yes. We were the Mariners every year, the Mariners dynasty. It was solid.
Very good. What's your best Little League memory?
Shoot. I just remember spending all my time at the Little League field. We ended up moving so I could – we ended up moving closer to our Little League field when I was about 12 so we could ride our bikes up there and – I mean, every night just going up there playing wall ball, just running around and being around baseball.
Fantastic. Brad, thank you.
Cool. Thank you.
And now it is bullpen banter time. Another great one. Here is Charlie Furbush with Tom Wilhelmsen.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Back to another edition of Bullpen Banter. I'm Charlie Furbush today. One of my favorite guys on the team. Mr. Tom Wilhelmsen is here today, and the crowd goes wild. How are you doing, Tom?
I'm doing wonderful, Charles. Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to see your face, but even more be on Bullpen Banter.
Yes, it's a special, special time. Anytime I get the big T-dub on here. Can you describe to the fans out there what a perfect off day for Tom Wilhelmsen and his family would be?
Well, I would start off with sleeping in a little bit, you know, maybe to like 9 in the morning or so. And then a nice cup of coffee.
Of a Colombian style?
You know, I'm really digging the French roast right now.
Oh. Speaking of the roasts, I think we learned something a few weeks ago, at least I did, about coffee and the light, the medium, the dark roast. Common sense, I would think that the dark roast would be the most caffeinated coffee.
But to all you listeners out there, I'm sure you already know this because you drink a lot of coffee here in Seattle. It is not true.
Yes, the light roast has the most caffeine, surprisingly. So if you're looking to get an extra jolt in the morning, go for the light roast. Don't go for the dark roast. Might have a little more flavor, but less caffeine. When they roast it longer, they burn the caffeine off the beans. If you could pick one superpower, indulge the fans in a superpower that you would love to have. And I want to say that you can't pick flying. Because the flying is probably the number one answer I've asked people. You know, everyone wants to fly. And any other superpower besides flying, what would you pick?
Maybe some kind of teleportation.
Okay.
Say I'm in a tight spot. I'm on the 90 battling traffic here in Seattle. If I could just like snap my fingers or like wink my eyes or twitch my nose and then be on the other side, bada bing, bada boom.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty sweet, right?
So what was your favorite Halloween costume as a kid?
Yeah, you know, that's fun. My mom actually used to make all of our Halloween costumes. I was Donald the Duck one year. That was a good one. I was a red crayon when I was a wee little boy because it had a shorter word. So red fit me when I was 1-2 years old.
And you were skinny, you know, like the crayon, right?
Well, yeah. You know, I was Davy Crockett one year. My mom made a pretty sweet Elvis costume.
Ooh. Okay, Elvis. So if you had to pick one guy you think is just hilarious, and maybe he doesn't try to be hilarious, or maybe he just is hilarious, whether it's in the bullpen, whether it's in the dugout, you know, anyone on the team, who you're throwing at, provides comedic relief for you.
The guy that really cracks me up is Carson Smith. I don't think he tries to be funny. He's the sneaky funny guy. Never seems to fail.
Yeah, I think I actually learned something last night in the bullpen, and he was checking out some scores there on the scoreboard to see, you know, some updates. And I see him, and he just got this squint on his face, like, squinting. I'm like, dude, why are you squinting so much? I'm going to start calling you Squints. He's like, yeah, everyone calls me Squints. If you could be the lead singer of a band to rock people's faces off, what band are you picking? I know we were in Hot Corner. I know we had an epic time doing that commercial. And one of these days, I hope to bring the wigs back, maybe wear them. Pitch, I think that would be epic, you know, and throw the hair back.
Turn back the clock night, maybe.
So leading the band, you're the lead singer. Do you have the band you're picking?
I certainly don't, you know, because if I'm the lead singer of a band that I want to be the lead singer of, well, that means the lead singer isn't the lead singer of that band that I like so much. Therefore,
You would have to make your own band?
I'd have to make my own band, Charlie.
Do you have a potential name for this band?
I do have a potential name for this band, but I'm not at liberty to tell you.
I'm just going to wrap this thing up with the new go-to move of Bullpen Banter is I want to hear your go-to karaoke song. I know you can get down, you can dance, but can you sing?
I think Bohemian Rhapsody pretty much has the best of everything you want in a karaoke song. It's a little soft, and then it rocks your socks off.
I have actually sang that song. You need more than one person. It's very tough to hit all the notes, so I would be more than willing to help you background sing or help you the lead.
Bismillah. Ah, we will not let you go.
Let him go.
We will not let you go.
Let him go.
We will not let you go.
Let him go.
Mamma mia, mamma mia, mamma mia, let him go. For me, for me, for me.
So you think you can stop me and spend my life?
Woo!
That was great. I don't want to go any further. Oh, the car. There it is. Man, I'm going to shut this thing down. We're going to wrap this week's edition of Bullpen Banter up. Just a wonderful, wonderful time here with Tom Wilhelmsen. Thanks for coming on the show, man.
It's just always a pleasure. And, and thank you, Charlie, for thinking of me. And I can't wait for the next time.
Absolutely. Maybe we'll reverse roles again and see if you can let the people know what I'm about on the inside.
That sounds wonderful. I'd be honored. Thank you.
All right. Well, that's going to do it. And we'll see you guys next week.
And finally, we're going to end things on a Monday, as we often do, with a little week that was.
This is the week that was.
A look back on highlights and events of the Mariners' past week
on Mariners Magazine.
The Kings pay off pitch, and it's strike three called. Billy Burns caught looking. A fastball just tickles the outside corner, and Billy Burns has to walk across home plate, take off his batting gloves. He's ticketed for the dugout. The King has his third strikeout today.
The windup and the 3-2 pitch, and it's strike three called, and there it is. Number 2,000 for Felix Hernandez, and he becomes the fourth youngest in the history of the game of baseball to reach 2,000. Behind Bert Blyleven, behind Sam McDowell, behind the great big train, Walter Johnson, and now you can add the King, Felix Hernandez, to that list at the age of 29 years and 32 days old.
I mean, it's pretty special for me. I mean, my mom's in Minnesota and I miss her so much. And I just want to go out there and trying to help the team to win and just dedicate this game to my mom and my wife.
And the 2-2 to Chris. Strike three called and the ballgame is over. The Mariners win at a final score of 4-3, and they sweep aside the Athletics this afternoon in the three-game series.
From the wonderful world of sports, we bring you Home Run Derby.
Goodbye, baseball. Kyle Seager with a three-run line shot home run to right.
Carrying back to the wall, and this is gone. Logan Morrison, a two-out, two-strike blast. Almonte looking up, and it is gone. Mike Zunino leads off the bottom of the sixth inning, his fourth home run of the season. The Mariners' third round tripper tonight. It's 6-0 Mariner. Does he go deep for the second time? You better believe it. Almost to the second tank. Ruggiano got a lot of this one, and it's into the bullpen. The Mariners' fifth home run of the night.
Swing and a high fly ball. Deep to left center field. There goes number six. Goodbye, baseball. To the back of the Mariner bullpen. Nelson Cruz with a missile. His 15th home run of the season. The 0-1 swing and a ground ball to third. Taken by Seager in a short hop. Goes to Willie Blomquist at second for the force on Solarte. And this ball game is over. The Mariners win at a final score of 11-4.
We think we have a good team. I like our team. I like our pitching. I like our, offense. So, I mean, that's baseball. You have your ups and downs, and, you just try to ride the ups a little longer.
On the way, the 1-0. Smith swings. It's a high, towering fly ball. This is smoked right center field. It rides on out. 15 in a row set
down by Buchholz until that big bomb by Seth Smith, and we are tied at one.
Right-hander's 0-1 pitch. Here she comes, swing and a line drive into center field right at Ruggiano. He's there. He makes the catch, and that will retire the side. Great job by Wilhelmsen in relief. And the 3-2 on the way to Cruz. Swing and a line drive into left center field. And this one is on the track all the way to the wall. Here comes Miller rounding third. He will score. Nelson Cruz with his second walk-off hit. Mariners win it. 2-1 over the Red Sox here in the bottom of the ninth inning. 3-1 pitch. Swing and a fly ball into left center field. Going back, Venable looking up. Going. Goodbye, baseball. Out to the pen in deep left center field. Brad Miller. Now the windup and the 2-2. Swing and a high fly ball deep into the gap in right center field. Holt going back to the track, to the wall. Looks up. Goodbye, baseball. Brad Miller with his third home run of the season. Swing and a high fly ball deep to right field. Holt going back to the track, to the wall. Goodbye, baseball. Miller does it again. His second home run of the ball game.
See you later.